along tonight. So good to have you all here. Grab a seat. Apart from Joey, you have to stand the entire service. Well done. No, you can grab a seat. I'm not that mean. Hey, Ben, I didn't tell you. You guys can grab a seat. No, joking. You guys can grab a seat. I'm just having a bit of fun with you. Let's just turn off the house lights a little bit. So good to see such a beautiful group of people here tonight. Now, during the week, I had a message prepared, but in preparation for tonight, I started cooking curries. I started calling people to ask them to help cook curries. And on my way, I went to OCF on Friday night. So shout out to some of the OCF crew. And I was there and they had chicken rice, which is sort of like a curry. And is it classified as a curry or is it just chicken rice? I don't know, it sort of nods. It depends on how much spice you put in it. But when I was preparing for it, I felt God really impressed on my heart to change my message that I had prepared during the week to a message about curry. So I hope you're ready for this because this message is going to be hot. It's going to be spicy. It's got some good stuff in there, and it's probably going to go. It has some meat in there, but I'm hoping it goes to you and goes through you. Because like a good curry, can I hear an amen? If like a nice spicy curry, you'll feel it on this end, but then you'll find out later. Yeah, it goes through you. So turn to the person next to you and tell them, get ready for it to go through you. Turn to the person on the other side and say, I don't know if I want to eat this. classic. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to share a short story, and then I'm going to share with you four things that God wants to bring to you and bring through you. Four things that God wants to bring to you and bring through you. So God, I just thank you so much for this great group of people that you've gathered here tonight. God, we thank you so much that here at Energizer Church, it's not just about going through the motions, but it's about drawing closer to you so that we can be transformed more into your glorious image so that we can bring your kingdom to the world that we find ourselves in the university, in schools, in sporting teams, in families. God, you've positioned each and every single one of us to be people of influence where the kingdom comes to us but through us. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're commissioning every single person in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So recently I went to Planet Shakers Conference. And at Planet Shakers Conference, I was hanging out with about 20 youth pastors. And at the end of one of our night services, we were like, hey, let's go get some food. So we dashed down into the CBD of Melbourne. And one of the only places that we found open was this curry place. And me being Dan, a classic Dan moment, I was sitting next to this youth pastor from Adelaide. And he was like, Dan, we should order the hottest curry on the menu. And I was just like, no, it wasn't Layla. It was a guy from Influencers Church. And I was foolish enough to say, all right, it's on. Let's do this. So we ordered this goat curry, right? And we said, hey, look, we want you to put so much chili in it that it's just out of control. And they absolutely chock-a-blocked this thing with chili. And me and this other guy were eating it, and it was disgusting. My hair just became sweat. Like, it was literally drip. My head was just like red, like a tomato, but not just like a tomato that had been in the fridge for too long and had like liquid all over it. It was disgusting and disgraceful. It was just so hot. And I knew it in that moment, but then I also knew it down the track that it was really hot too. It came to me, then went through me. And the really disturbing thing is, I'm not trying to be crass about this, but, I then went to the national conference about a month later, or 6 weeks later, which was up on the Gold Coast. And a few of the pastors that were there were up at national conference as well. And they're like, oh, it's the sweaty guy from Tassie. And I was like, awesome. Amongst my peers as pastors in the ACC movement, they see me as the sweaty guy from Tassie. So please pray for Dan. Emotionally, I'm a bit unstable at the moment. But the thing is that, just like that curry was hot and went, yeah, God wants to bring stuff to you and through you. He doesn't want you just to be a dam that gets filled up with wisdom and then it just never goes anywhere. He intends his word to do something in you but then go through you. So I'm going to talk to you about four things that God wants to bring to you and bring through you. The first one, resource. In the book of Joseph, in... I've just had him in a blank of the book of the Bible. In one of the books, I wrote Joseph instead of the book of the Bible. In chapter 41, 47, in Genesis, thank you, my brain. I read Joseph and I was just like, wait a second, that's not a book in the Bible. I know better than that. There's a story about how he gets commissioned and put in this position of head over all of Egypt. And in that story, he actually fills up all these barns with all the produce of Egypt, because in 7 years' time, there was going to be an incredible drought. But God intended that to go to him, but then to go through him. It wasn't so that him and Pharaoh could be just like chilling in the palace, just consuming all the goods. It was so that it could actually bring provision to the entire nation. In John chapter 6, 1 to 14, there's this story about this small kid. Jesus is preaching, a bit like I'm preaching to you guys now. But he was going all out. He was preaching for ages, and everyone started to get hungry. And there's this story about this small kid who rocks up with two fishes and a bunch of loaves of bread, and he brings them to Jesus. And when he does that, he says Jesus breaks it apart, blesses it, and multiplies, and it feeds everyone. He brings the resource that he had. This small kid brings the resource that he has into Jesus' hands. And in Acts 4, 32 to 37, I want to share this passage with you. This one's awesome. In Acts 32 to 37, it says this. I did drop something. Well spotted. You have got eyes of an eagle. Acts 4, 32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, one of the apostles that they nicknamed Barnabas. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He even sold a field he owned and bought the money to the apostles. Now, in these three different examples, you have Joseph in Genesis from a place of ridiculous prosperity. He was probably the most well-paid person in the land. Then you have a small child who just has a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of loaves of fish, who has very little. And then we have this story about how all the believers would share what they have. And I want to encourage you, it's not dependent on the season that you're in. It's not whether you're in a place of abundance or a place that might be considered poverty. I tell you what, a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of loaves of fish doesn't compare to thousands of things of grains and thousands of things of corn. But it doesn't matter about the amount that you have. It's the heart that you have to be able to bring it, and bring that resource comes to you, but it goes through you. So that's one of the things. Like, even recently, I had the privilege of speaking up at a church in Penguin, and there was this young guy who was about 16 years old. I saw him preaching. He was sharing up on stage for like 5 minutes. They were doing like this mini preach. And I was looking at his shoes, and he had like these giant holes. You could see all his toes. It was quite unnerving. There were six toes in one of his shoes. And I was like, oh, that's a joke. It's, you know, Tasmania. Okay, don't worry. Anyway, he didn't really have six toes. Don't worry. But I saw his shoes, and he had these massive holes in it. And I felt, I'd literally just bought a brand new pair of Nike SBs. And they were sitting in my car. And I just felt God say, Dan, you need to give them to that kid. I was like, but God, they're my Nikes. I spent like $80 on those Nikes. But felt God impress it so, you know, he just kept on prompting me, saying, Dan, it's not about you. I give it to you so I can get it through you. So in that moment, I just quickly ducked out. And it was amazing. He had the exact same size feet as me. It's like 16-year-olds are just getting bigger and bigger these days. Like Tyler Zabel will testify to that. Like, how old are you now, Tyler? 14, and he's pretty much taller than me now. It's scary. I don't know what they're feeding him, but someone needs to stop that. He's going to be a giant soon. But this kid who was like 15, 16, already had feet the size of mine, and I'm 28. And so in that moment, I took what I had and brought it to him. And you should have seen the joy on this kid's face. He just could not believe that I was like, I then preached a message, and he just couldn't believe. He was like, no, you can't do that. You can't do it. But I've just been hearing from some of my friends up north just how blessed that he's been from that. And I'm not saying that to sort of say, hey, look how good I am. I just want to encourage you that God will give you things. God will resource you. God will bless you, not just so you can hoard it up, but so that you can let it go and actually be a blessing to others. That's how the kingdom of God advances, when we choose to let resource come to you and go through you. The second one is prophetic words. Prophetic words. Not pathetic words, prophetic words. So this is the second dish of my curry menu. This one needs to go to you and go through you. Prophetic words. The potency of a prophetic word is in the sharing of the word. If you have a prophetic word for someone, but you keep it bottled up on the inside of you, it has no impact. It has no power. It's like me opening up that jar of buttered chicken. It's only good when I literally open it and add it to something that it actually has any effect. In the same way, a prophetic word, unless you actually let it go and speak it out over someone, that it can actually have the impact that it was intended to have. You know, the prophecy, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:3 in the New Living Translation, but the one who prophesies strengthens others and encourages them and comforts them. I want to encourage you, if anyone ever has a prophetic word and they speak it over you, and it doesn't do one of those three things, if it doesn't strengthen you, encourage you, or comfort you, I would hesitate to guess that might not actually be a prophetic word. You know, if it's not doing those three things or doing one of those three things, that should be the filter for prophecy. The filter for prophecy. I love in the Amplified Bible, it says this, but on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, to promote their spiritual growth, and to speak words of encouragement, to uphold and advise them concerning the matters of God, and to speak words of consolation, to compassionately comfort them, sharing prophetic words. So if it doesn't pass those three things, if it doesn't pass the comforting or the encouraging or the strengthening, then it probably isn't a prophetic word. But I want to encourage you, if you ever have a word that's going to bring comfort to someone or strengthen someone or build people up, don't keep it in you. Amen. Speak it out. God intended it to go to you and through you. God intended it to go to you and through you. The other key thing is it's got to line up with biblical truth. Like, seriously, it ain't prophecy if it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. Like, if you have a prophetic word saying, Pete Burnett, I feel like you need to divorce your wife. Like, that would be messed up. And that ain't prophetic because it doesn't comfort, it doesn't strengthen, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Make sure if you are going to speak words prophetically that it lines up with the Word of God. I'm using a hyperbole. Thank you, Jen Grubb, the teacher. A hyperbole. That was a dramatic one. Like, you know, God would never say that. But you find often in the Bible, Jesus will use hyperboles to illustrate points in dramatic and crazy ways. So if it doesn't line up with biblical truth, then it probably isn't prophecy. But God intends you to be prophetic people. In that scripture in Corinthians, it talks about how, like, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is the Apostle Paul, the guy who was the most radical evangelist, the guy who was the most radical church planter of the early church, talking about how important it is to pray in tongues, but then saying how even more important it is for people, for believers, for Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, to be people that prophesy. And I want to encourage you, if you've been, you know, receiving prophecies but not speaking prophecies, maybe tonight is a night where you can start going, God, I pray you'd speak it to me and then speak it through me. God, I want to prophesy and strengthen people. God, I want to comfort people. Because if the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest church planters ever, encourages us to be people that prophesy, then who are we to sit here 2,000 years later and go, yeah, that might not be for me. Anyway, next one. I'm going to say something bad if I continue there. The third dish on my things that God wants to dish up to you and then dish through you is this one. Revelation. Revelation. I honestly believe that God speaks to people through prayer and through reading His Word and listening to His Word. Revelation, it's like that spiritual light bulb moment, that epiphany, that enlightenment. Revelation is intrinsically linked to who God is. I tell you what, I watched a video about sperm whales recently. And did you know sperm whales actually sleep? Is that vertically? Horizontally? Yeah, that way. Vertically. I'm horizontally challenged. And vertically challenged. But they sleep vertically. Yes, I am. Then they sleep vertically. Like, and it's crazy. Sperm whales actually swim together as a pod. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, dudes, let's go. Let's have a power nap. And they will all just go whoop and go that way. And they will sleep for somewhere between like 5 to 35 minutes. Like, that's pretty awesome. And that's pretty incredible. But that isn't revelation. That's information. Me telling you that, that isn't revelation because it's not intrinsically linked to actually revealing who God is. That's just me just telling you a random fact. So you can share that to someone else if you want to. It's interesting, but it ain't revelation. And I want to tell you that, you know, information you can store up, like that's all good. But revelation, when God drops a word of revelation about his faithfulness, when God drops a word of revelation about his provision, that he's a God that provides, he's a God that faithful, he's a God that is loving, he's a God that is kind. That these things are not meant to be stored and just kept within you, but it's meant to be something that God speaks to you to speak through you. How do I know this to be true? Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to thousands of generations. He wrote this to encourage the entire nation of Israel that God is a faithful God. Regardless to what you go through, whether you're in slavery, whether you're in the desert, whether you're in the promised land, to remind them that God is a faithful God. And he shared that. He didn't keep that to himself. He shared it with all his people. In I love how in the book of John, John's writing about how God is love. How God is love. And I want to encourage you that he shares that because he wanted everyone to know it. He had that revelation by himself. He had this incredible revelation that God is love. But he didn't keep that to himself. He wrote it so that the whole emerging church could know the fact that God is love. That God is faithful, that God is love. See, when you have a revelation of the character of God or who God is, God isn't intending you to keep it bottled up within you. He wants you to bust that thing open and pour it out. He wants other people to have that revelation too. He wants other people to taste and see that God is good. And the only way he can taste it is in the book of Romans. It says, how will they know unless someone goes? How will they know unless someone tells them? And I want to encourage you, let's be a group of people. Let's be a group of followers of Jesus Christ. Let us be a group of disciples that don't just keep stuff on the inside, but tell people the good news. And that brings me to my final point. I'm going to invite the band to come back. The band. The fourth dish that I want to dish up, I want to encourage you that God brings to you but wants to bring through you, is salvation. It's salvation. You can't save anyone. Only Jesus saves. So hear me correctly as I share this one. But Jesus will bring salvation to you. It says in the book of Romans that anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be saved. And many people in this room have had that moment of salvation. As you heard earlier, I had that moment about 10 years ago. At a night service like this, all the power got knocked out in our building. We were having a little worship session at the back up there. I honestly cannot remember a word the pastor preached that night, but it was during praise and worship. I just felt God speaking to my heart, speaking to my spirit, saying, Dan, this is the change you want to see in the world. Dan, you need to give your life for me. You need to lay it down and trust me with your life. Does that mean everything's been perfect from that day forward? No. But knowing that God is with me, knowing that God loves me, knowing that God is faithful through it all, he sustains me through it all, there's nothing greater. God wants salvation to come to you, to go through you. In Mark 16:15, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. It wasn't, hey, I've saved you, now keep it to yourselves. It was go and share it. Open that thing up. Pour it out. Tell everyone the good news. This is the true hot curry. This is the stuff that should be going through you all the time. Unfortunately, I think too many Christians are, and I put myself in this boat, We keep it locked up and contained too often. It doesn't have to be pretty. It might be messy at times. But He wants it to go through you and impact the people around you. God never intended the good news to be kept within. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story about Legion. Has anyone heard of this guy named Legion? A man who was possessed by many demons. But it says that he was saved so that he could then be a witness. Like, Jesus actually didn't say, "Hey, come follow me on this trip." He saved him and set him free so that he could go back into his town and testify of the incredible love and kindness and power of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ that has saved you, you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ where you know without a shadow of a doubt that He loves you, that you're accepted by God, then that's not something that you're meant to keep within you. You need to go back to where you came from and share of the good news. I love how in John 4, there's a story about a woman at the well. And in the exact same way, Jesus speaks to this woman and brings dignity. He speaks prophetic words. And in the end, this woman ends up going back to her town and saying, "Let me come, follow. Come and meet this man who's told me everything about my life." And the incredible thing is she didn't keep that revelation to herself. She didn't keep that salvation to herself. She wanted to bring other people into a place of salvation too. "Upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church." And the disciples were even willing to die to get this good news out, to get salvation out, willing to die to share this news. And I just want to challenge you in a way. What parts of you need to die to share this news? Pride? The opinions of others? I know that's a challenging one for a lot of people. What will my family think if I talk about Jesus? What will my work colleagues think if they know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Selfish ambition, does that need to die? Popularity. You know, Jesus didn't save you just so that you could be popular. He saved you so that you could be His most treasured possession, so that you could have confidence that when this life fades, which it will, that you'll see Him face to face and you'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He'll welcome you home with loving arms. I think too many of us allow these things to live rather than allowing those things to die so that we can actually speak the good news, speak salvation, speak the hope of the world, which is Jesus Christ. The only way to salvation, the only way to have eternal security is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the only way. And the incredible thing, it's not based on what you've done, what you're currently doing, or the mistakes you're going to make. It's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ upon that cross. His blood broke the penalty of sin. His blood completely covered all our sins. And by Him going to hell and dying in our place, we can actually have eternal life, resurrection, salvation life. Now, I just want to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads. Not because there's anything more spiritual about doing this, but it's so you're not being distracted by the person to the left of you or by the person to the right of you. But it says this in Romans 10:9-13. I've already shared it. It says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone, it's an open invitation, who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon Him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And in this moment, I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you genuinely, sincerely pray this prayer, I honestly believe that you'll have a salvation moment in this moment. All your mistakes, all your past, all the things that have chained you and tethered you can be broken in the name of Jesus, and that you can find new life and salvation in him. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me so much that you're willing to die for me. Tonight, I turn from my old ways and choose to follow you. I receive this gift of salvation. I declare that you are Lord. I believe this in my heart, and I confess this with my mouth. From this day forward, I'm a son, a daughter of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you genuinely meant it, you sincerely meant it, and you confess that, as I shared in Romans, it says, if you acknowledge me, you'll be saved. And I just want you to lift your hand and say, Dan, that was me. I'm not going to drag you out the front, but I just want to celebrate the fact that you've made that decision. Has anyone made that decision here tonight? That was the first time we've ever prayed that prayer. Sweet. Yep. See that hand. Is there anyone else that has made that decision? We want to celebrate this. There's a whole bunch of people that have come to know Jesus already. Is there anyone? Yep. I see that hand. Is there anyone else that has made that decision here tonight? Anyone else? There's power in actually saying, yep, that was me. That was me. Or maybe you've made a decision like that once before, but tonight you're saying, no. I know I've been going the wrong way. Tonight, I'm putting it all back in the right place. Yep, I see that hand. Is there anyone else that has made that decision here tonight? Yep, I see that hand. Is there anyone else that has made that decision to say, I may have made that decision once, but tonight I'm making it afresh and I'm following Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Let me encourage you. Everyone look up. If you made that decision, we're a church family here. We're not just a club. We don't just do this for the fun of it. But we want to cheer one another on and walk out the journey of faith with one another. And there's three key things that can actually help us do that. One, reading the Word of God. Seriously, the Word will help feed you spiritually. Two, prayer. Prayer is actually just talking to God, communicating Him the way that God made you. Speak to Him that way. Just be like, hey God, what's going on? Three, church community, connecting with a body of believers. Those three things, if you keep those three things at the forefront of your faith journey, then those three things will keep you going through pretty much any season that you go through. So I want to encourage you, if you gave me a wave, we would love to give you a Bible. We would love to encourage you and we would love to pray with you. Not to make you feel awkward, but just to celebrate the fact that you've made that decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Or even if you didn't give me a wave, and you prayed that prayer tonight and it was something serious and genuine to you, let me encourage you. Talk to the person that invited you. Come chat to me afterwards. It's always encouraging and exciting to see people coming to know Jesus like I know Jesus. Anyway, we've gone 5 minutes over and we've got a truckload of curry to eat. 6 minutes over. Oh, I'm sorry, Sky. I'm terrible. I just get carried away when I preach. Hey, I reckon, can we finish with a praise song tonight? We're going to do a praise song, and I want to encourage you, if you are under the age of 40, come up the front here, and we're going to have a dance, mate. Okay, if you feel young at heart, come up the front. And right at the end of the song, we're going to go straight up the back to eat some curries. So let's come up the front and celebrate salvation, and God bless.